What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, noon in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley on 106.7 The Fan. Nats took 2 out of 3 over the weekend from the Cincinnati Reds, and our guy Mark Zuckerman was there for all of it. Zuck, how are you, man? How's life?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, man. How you been?
All right. We had a lot of rain in Cincinnati, and now I see that it followed me back home.
Oh, yeah. I felt bad just seeing the tweets of, like, the constant rain delays and games getting moved around. But still, I would say, you know, Nats took 2 out of 3. They hit pretty well in the 2 wins. They're 3 games under .500, coming home with a little bit of interleague play set up over the next couple of days with Cleveland coming to town. Generally, we'll start big picture. Generally, people got to feel pretty good about what Washington's doing right now.
Yeah, I think if you can step back and look at the bigger picture, absolutely. There's some encouraging stuff going on. And let's remember, they started the year, they had a terrible opening week. They were 1-6. Mm-hmm. So since then, they're 15-13. So you're over .500 since then. And a good number of those losses are games that were lost because of the bullpen. So, you know, obviously it's an important part of the team. You can't just discount that. But if you just stabilize that a bit, and they have in the last 4 days or so, the bullpen has pitched well, I think there's potential here for this to flip a little bit. They're playing very competitive baseball, and it just boils down to a lot of these close games. Can they get that one hit they need to take the lead? Can they get the bullpen to close it out for them? The starting pitching has been very good across the board. They're beating good teams. They have a winning record against teams that are over .500. They've actually struggled some against the lesser teams for whatever reason. So there is stuff to be encouraged by. They're not there yet, obviously, but I feel like these are kind of fine-tuning things. These are little things they need to clean up. They do that, I think they're going to be in position to start winning more games than they lose.
Mark, is that something that we have to focus on? I mean, you said about the bullpen, and you've had some bullpen struggles for some time here. You know, how do they get that to a point where they know they can count on it?
Well, the good news, B. Mitch, is as of last night, they no longer have the highest bullpen ERA in baseball. They've surpassed the Angels. They're now 29th instead of 30th. So there you go.
Huzzah!
No, you know what's happened is a few things. Kyle Finnegan had his 2 blown saves, but he brushed those off, came back, has been good. Jorge Lopez, an important guy they signed to be their setup man, he got off to a really bad April. He's had now 5 straight scoreless appearances, looks more like himself who he was supposed to be all along. That's important. And then they did make one fairly significant switch during the road trip. They cut ties with Colin Poche, who just never could throw strikes for whatever reason. They DFA'd him, and they signed this guy, Andrew Chafin. Wait till you guys see him. He is straight out of Central Casting. He is Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down, like in real life. And he has a track record. He's made 600 big league appearances. He's been all over the place over his career. He's only pitched 1 so far, but he faced 2 batters in a big spot the other night in Cincinnati, struck them both out. This is a guy who can help stabilize things. And so all of a sudden it's looking a little bit better there. Again, they need to do this for more than 4 days. You got to extend this over a longer stretch. But I don't think anybody truly believed they were going to be as bad as they were in that first month. It would be hard to be, you know, have a 7 ERA as a group for a whole season. So if that just gets to be better, it doesn't have to be great, but it's better, I think they start winning some of these closer games.
You know, one thing that's really helped them is, and I don't mean day-to-day, right, because there's obviously good games, bad games, but the starting pitching's been really pretty good. We're talking with our friend Mark Zuckerman, excuse me, from Massad Sports here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Zuck, I mean, Mackenzie Gore, I'm just looking at his wins above replacement. You know, now you get into May, this is like we're actually into the season. Like the results aren't maybe skewed by like one good or bad performance. Is Gore starting to have the kind of games, the type of performances? I mean, obviously the strikeout numbers are significant that everybody kind of had hoped and expected with a player of his caliber.
Yeah, I mean, he leads the league in strikeouts now, and he's doing that while also hardly walking anybody. He finally walked four guys yesterday, and three of them came in the fifth inning when it was just a downpour, and they tried to play through it. And at one point there, prior to that inning, he had a 7-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio for the season. So I looked this up to see, you know, has any Nats ever done that before? The only guy who's ever done it, you know, a qualified starter who pitched a full season, was Max Scherzer. Okay. Now there's a long way to go. It's a little over 1 month, so he has to show he can do this for 6 months. But that tells you just how dominant he's been so far. And while there've been, you know, a couple of those really outstanding games like opening day, to me the more impressive thing is a game like yesterday, when he's pitching well, but he's got some guys on base, and then he has to deal with that downpour in the fifth inning. He's got runners on base. He slips at one point, falls down, and he gets through it. And he ends up going five innings, giving up the one run. That, to me, is the big step that he's taken, where a year ago, that might spiral out of control on him, and all of a sudden he's given up four runs instead. And now he's able to limit the damage and keep it to one. So even on the days when not everything's exactly perfect how you want it to still be that effective, I think that's what is helping him kind of develop into a true ace right now.
Mark, I'm old-fashioned. I still look at ERA and batting average. I know those stats are lame now, but I still look at those. In eight starts, Gore is averaging 13 strikeouts per nine. Now, he's not always getting to nine, depending on how long he goes. And his ERA is 3.3. Zuck, I'll be honest with you. I am more encouraged by Gore than I expected to be. Last year, I thought it was pretty up and down, and I wondered if he would deliver on the hype that had surrounded him. And this year's the first month of the season, 6 weeks, whatever it is, has been so encouraging, I think.
Yeah, no, he has taken that next step, and he's always been touted as the potential ace. But as you said, inconsistency was a huge part of that, that the reason that he hadn't got there yet. And so that's what I'm talking about, these nights, you're not going to have everything working for you every time you take the ball. It'd be great if you can, but you're not always going to have that. So what do you do with those starts when you're not at 100% or the conditions aren't 100%? Can you find a way to still be successful? That's what makes the great ones great. And so far, he's been able to do that, and that allows him to have those numbers you're talking about. And, I mean, again, long way to go, but right now, when you consider what Gore has done, what James Wood is doing, what C.J. Abrams is doing.
Yeah.
That trade's looking okay at the moment, huh?
Well, dude, when do we start to have a real conversation about Jake Irvin and Mitchell Parker? B and I proclaimed Mitchell Parker our guy last year, so we're just kind of riding with him at this point. Yeah. But, like, these dudes are now, over a big period of time, showing that they are legitimate major league starters, and maybe, in Parker's case, maybe more.
So they both, I think their biggest strength right now is they are just bulldogs, and they're going to give you six and even seven innings at times and take the ball every fifth day and give you a chance to win. And that's an important thing to have. They may not be number one starters, anything like that.
Right.
But they're guys you have to have in a good rotation, the innings eaters, the workhorses, bulldogs, whatever you want to call that. Now, Parker was great for the first month, And then his last two starts, all of a sudden he's starting to walk guys. And that has been the number one thing he's avoided since coming up last year. He was pretty down on himself the other night for struggling with that. They're trying to work on some things, figure out what the issue is. I think it's mechanical more than anything else. So he does need to clean that up. But if he can, he is showing that he is a guy who's going to give you a chance. Not always going to be, you know, dazzle you, but you're going to look up at the end of the night and say, man, he went six innings, gave up two or three runs, gave us a chance to win. That's important stuff to have. You know, behind a number one, you need those middle of the rotation guys who can do that.
And as this thing continues, I mean, we talk about the pitching and the bullpen. I'm sorry, B. I try to play it cool, but eventually I just want to get to James Wood.
James Wood, yes, but I mean, he's doing great. But I'm saying, Dylan Cruz, what is going on with Dylan?
Here we go.
That one hasn't gone as well as you would hope, yeah, so far.
But you don't think it's a problem, though?
Well, he is still kind of swinging at a lot of stuff, a lot of slop. Mm-hmm. Their teams have figured out, you know, they don't throw him a lot of fastballs. He chases pitches out of the zone. So there is that, and that's something he's going to have to figure out. He just went through two slumps. It was 0-for-23 on the road trip. He finally got the hit yesterday, and it was 0-for-22 on the season with runners in scoring position, and he snapped that one with that same hit. So maybe that's a little something to get him going. He's still got to figure this out. I think what everyone keeps cautioning here is, he was rushed through the minor leagues. He made it to the big leagues within a year. Mm-hmm. He still has very little overall professional experience. And I know we've been spoiled here by so many prospects over the years who've come up and been gangbusters right away. It doesn't always work that way. It usually doesn't work that way. I think the good news is they're giving him time to figure it out. I don't think they're putting pressure on him. The other thing that I think that stands out about him that's important to note, and I think bodes well in the long run, no matter what he's doing at the plate, he's played outstanding defense, and he runs the bases really well, too. And I think that's important to note because, especially for a young player, you can take your troubles from one part of your game to the other part of your game, and he's done a really nice job of separating those things. And I think that shows the, you know, just maturity and overall quality of player that they think he's going to be, is that he's not going to let his offensive struggles affect, you know, the other parts of his game.
Okay.
Is it a – with Cruz – because early on, it's early, man. He'll get there. Now we're 6 weeks in, and it seemed like there was like a little bit of a bright spot there, and then there were these slumps again. Is there any sort of timeline where like people get worried, or is it not even this year?
No, I think if he were to do this all year, then you do have some concerns, of course. And would they let him go the whole season, you know, batting under 200 and struggling like that with runners in scoring position? Maybe not. At some point, they would maybe say, okay, it's time to take a break, send him down and work on things. But I don't think they're there yet, obviously. And because you do see glimpses of it that tell you, okay, he does have this ability, clearly. I mean, there's a reason he was so highly touted. You don't just get that kind of reputation and be picked that high in the draft without obviously having the ability and everything else. He probably just needs to settle down a little bit. I'm sure he's feeling it himself. He's an intense competitor. I'm sure he's never struggled to this extent anywhere that he's ever played in his life. And so I think that part of it is maybe even a bigger challenge for him. Just like calm down, trust your instincts, trust your natural abilities. You're going to start to figure this out and you'll be okay. But yeah, there is a point where you do start to worry more. I don't think they're there yet, but it's not an endless rope where they would say, okay, you're going to play all season no matter how it goes.
For sure. How about CJ? Because he's playing really well, and I think
they got a little young nucleus there, man.
Dude, what I think we're all trying to figure out is they're playing pretty good. Davey deserves a lot of credit because they kind of tend to start slow and then start playing really well, and we're seeing that again. Zuck, I'll be honest, just as an outsider that wasn't, I don't know, you know, the ins and outs of day-to-day life in the clubhouse. But when CJ got in trouble in Chicago and was at the casino at 8 a.m. and there was a game at 1 that afternoon, and I think they kind of gave him some time off, how important is it that he has started well this year and it seems like there's none of that type of stuff popping up?
Yeah, no, that was huge. And you know, honestly, all offseason, I kept thinking this is the number one storyline with the team. Is he going to come back and be the guy he was supposed to be? And just talking about him as a player, like forget about any off the field stuff, but is he going to respond to this whole thing well, come back and play well like he did the first half of last year when he was an all-star? And the answer is yes, he absolutely has. He addressed the issue in spring training. He's done everything right since then. And most importantly, he's come out and played really well for them. And he's on a 10-game hitting streak right now. It's obviously James Wood's their best hitter, but it does feel like when C.J. Abrams is going well, the team goes well. There's something to that. I think it's the reason he bats leadoff for them. You look up his numbers in their wins versus losses or when he was out for a little bit on the IL a little while ago. I think there's a real correlation there that when he's going well, this team goes well. And I do see a more mature, just kind of focused kid who wants to be the player that we saw he was last year in the first half, which is, you know, an all-star, a truly all-around great shortstop in this game. And I think he knows he can be that if he keeps his head on right and, you know, and works at his game and fine-tunes everything.
Well, to that point, what you said earlier about the trade, so of their position players, Abrams and Wood have the highest wins above replacement of everybody. And then of their pitchers, Gore has the highest wins above replacement of everybody. So there definitely are some young pieces there. Are Davey and Rizzo, how's everybody getting along? Like, is anybody frustrated? Do they feel pretty good? Just the overall vibe with them coming back home now. They got the day game on Wednesday. Like, you know, you're far enough into the grind of the season that if there are any chafing or anything, like, it would start to show, right?
Sure. And I think, you know, that first month when you've got the bullpen losing games the way they were, that can lead to some bad stuff, of course. And to their credit, I didn't see any signs of that. And it reminds me of 2019 when obviously that star-studded team was losing games early because of the bullpen, and it could have fractured the clubhouse, and it did not. And it wound up in, you know, glorious fashion in the end. And I think that is a credit to the manager who has done such a good job over the years of keeping everybody together and just focusing on, hey, go 1-0 today and don't worry about any of the other stuff. So there is that. And, you know, they opened that road trip with a crazy game in Philadelphia. They rallied from behind to take the lead, and then Finnegan blew it in the bottom of the ninth. And the mood in the clubhouse that night was about as down as I've seen it in a long time. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a good way, because that told me that this team now believes that it should be winning these kind of games, that it's not enough to say, hey, we battled back and, you know, good for us. Like, no, they were in a position to beat a good team on the road. They didn't, and they felt really bad about that. I think you're going to see more of that kind of stuff now. The expectation level has been raised within the clubhouse for sure. They believe they're ready to start winning more games than they lose, and they're slowly creeping towards that mark. But when they do lose a game, it affects them, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I talked to C.J. Abrams at the red carpet homecoming event. I forget exactly what it's called, but I think you know what I mean, like before opening day. And he said, he's like, yeah, you know, we've heard for a long time that the Nationals are coming. Like, we like to think now we're here. And I think when you have young guys with that kind of mindset, that's at least how you want an organization to develop. Now, obviously, there's other factors, but I don't know. It's been fun watching the Curly W's. Mark, we always
appreciate
you making time with us, man.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Bye, buddy.
Mark Zuckerman. Give him a follow at Mark Zuckerman. He is not the dude that started Facebook. Less than an hour from now, seriously, less than an hour from now, we're supposed to get an official NFL draft announcement from the president, the mayor, and the Commander's owner. And it's going to be nuts. I can't wait. We're going to open the phone lines after that. We are going to give away Caps tickets in about 30 minutes.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Bike to the Beach is happening June 20th, and whether you're riding 25, 50, or 100 miles, this ride is fun, impactful, and for an incredible cause, supporting autism awareness and inclusion. It's fully supported, built for all skill levels, and it all ends at the beach with a hotel finish line, festival, food trucks, and beer at the beer tent from Dewey Beer Company. Don't miss your chance to be a part of something powerful. Sign up now at biketothebeach.org and ride with us to make
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Different.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I want to do a little Commanders talk. We just did a really good baseball conversation there with Mark Zuckerman. If you missed any of that, you should get on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts and just find it, because it's probably already up. Now, Lanville has a question written down here in his most landfill of ways, but as we kind of know where things land across the NFL, listen, things can always change. You can still work drafts. Like, a lot of things can still happen. But generally, by now, you kind of got your team. There will be some changes before week one. But generally, this is what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Washington's defense ranked kind of middle of the pack. They were clearly driven by their offense. Their defense ranked 13th in yards allowed, 18th in points allowed. Both were big jumps from where they had been. Bottom five, bottom two for much of the last couple of years.
They were like catfish. Right. Bottom feeders.
Yeah. So last year things did improve, but in big moments, at big times, they did struggle. I think they really struggled against the run, especially against the Eagles. But you know who else struggled against the run against the Eagles?
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. But whatever, you can't. The goal is to beat them, right? As far as the best defenses in the NFL last year, from a yards perspective, it was Philly. Houston was quite good also.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Minnesota had a really good defense as far as just creating turnovers. The Bills created a lot of turnovers.
Detroit did a good job until they saw us.
Well, Detroit just got,
but they got
crushed by injuries.
They got gutted. But, you know, still, got to be able to sustain that sometimes.
What's interesting is how sometimes NFL defensive stuff is more a matter of how the offense plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Eagles gave up the second fewest points per game in the NFL, and the Eagles gave up the fewest yards per game in the NFL. That's a hell of a recipe, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only team that gave up less than Philly points, it's really splitting hairs here. The Eagles gave up 17.8 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers gave up 17.7. But Jim Harbaugh also ran his offense like West Point. You know what I mean? Like, they were just trying to control the clock and grind it out. Like, it was an interesting first year from Harbaugh out there. And, you know, they were good. They made the playoffs. I've done a deep dive on this back when I used to write a lot. How hard defensive rankings are to replicate year over year over year. because a huge chunk of defense is generating turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And generating turnovers is really hard to predict.
Yeah.
Some of it is as simple as which way a fumble bounces.
True. But if you're consistent with putting your ball your helmet on the ball and grab a guy, wrap up. Don't just try to grab the ball without wrapping up because he ends up going for the whole way. But you wrap up and then somebody else comes and they put head on the ball. Or if you're better in coverage, where you play man coverage, you get a little tighter. You get those things, you know. But the pass rush is most consistent in turnovers, I believe. If you get great pass rush and you can also stop the run with that rush, you can affect people because you get to points where you hit the quarterback when he's trying to throw the ball. You hit the quarterback and the running back together at their mesh point, and it changes everything.
Well, to that point then, B, we have seen Washington make some big moves to try to improve their team. The big moves primarily have been offensively.
Yeah.
You're talking a trade for a new left tackle that cost you a bunch of draft picks,
mm-hmm.
A trade for a wide receiver that didn't cost you much, guaranteed some money, and then your first-round pick goes to the O-line also.
Yeah.
Now, they did take a corner with the second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of people really, really like. But they largely did not overhaul the defensive line. They lost John Allen. They lost Dante Fowler. You add Kinlaw. And I know people got up in arms about the money with Kinlaw. One, you overpay in free agency. That's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he's like a tier three defensive lineman money. Like, it's not that much money.
Yeah.
You know, they've brought in some veteran pieces to play along the defensive line, but you're talking about pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Pass rush generally is the best way to have a dominant defense.
Totally.
Period. Are you concerned with what they've done there?
I'm not concerned at this point because I watched them last year generate pass rush with what they had. And I think that they didn't go gung-ho because they feel comfortable with some of the guys they brought on and some guys that came on at the end of the year last year. I also believe that if your offense is much better and you could put more points on the board and you could take more time off the clock, you change another team's offense and you make them play how you want them to play. All right? Which in turn gives your defense a level of an advantage. So if Washington ups their points per game by 2-3 points, the other team has to put the ball in the air more often. They have to try to score more often, which means that they're one-dimensional. So like you mentioned, like, it all helps. Like, you know, when they play complementary football, that means the offense is doing such a good job that they make the defense job easy. Guess what else the defense is?
Rested.
Fresh,
right.
And rested.
Commanders finished 5th in points scored last year. They averaged just under 29 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
7th in total yards, 4th in first downs. A lot of long, long drives for Washington last year, which was a big part of their success.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with you, right? Like, I think Adam Peters looked at everything going on this offseason and said, to me, the further we get past it, it becomes kind of clear. He didn't love this draft class.
I don't think a lot of people did.
As an overall scope of it, because you traded away a bunch of picks, and then when you were in the draft, you never once traded back to get more picks. This was not a pinata he wanted to hit more often.
I don't think it was about the picks. I don't think it's as much about the picks as it's the quality of the picks. If they had more quality of a pick and people, but this draft was so even where many people didn't want to move.
Right. I think that Amos was there at 61 made it really easy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, last year they traded back because I think they wanted volume of guys to get into their program.
Yeah.
But they also really liked the next batch of guys there. I'm not sure they did because they never once tried to move back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think year over year over year, pick a good offense. Not the best, but, like, just a team that's had a pretty good offense over the years. Houston? Miami? I'm not saying like the Chiefs or the Ravens, but let's go to the Rams, right? They've been pretty good with Stafford. Mm-hmm. So if you just look year over year over year, what these teams do, it's way easier is not the wrong right word. It's significantly, though, more sustainable to build and keep an offense good, especially if you have a quarterback.
If you have a quarterback, yes, and then also the rules of football makes that easier.
Right, but I'm saying
they are so heavily swayed towards the offense.
So if you have to invest, what did we say coming out of the championship game loss in Philly? That Washington has to figure out how to improve their lines.
Mm-hmm.
The lines on both sides
Big
of the ball.
Boys.
That's where they got to get better. And they identified the offensive line as the place they were going to really zero in on. And I think you can make a case that it makes more sense.
Well, the offensive line, I would say yes, because who's the most important person in football? Quarterback.
Right.
Don't you have a good one? So if you could keep him more upright, if he was able to do the things he did with the line last year trying to come together, if you have a better one protecting him in front of him, he can do a lot more. And I think if you strengthen your offense, you strengthen your football team. Because they get way more than defenses get.
Totally. I know that people have edge angst. The edge angst is going nowhere, but I think this all makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
On a lot of levels, honestly. And I don't know that they have enough. We won't know until we see it next mm-hmm. year. But I would not have wanted to be on the hook for the very few, to me, attractive free agents and the money they got anyway. Like, Milton Williams could be really good. You heard Zangaro say it. He's like, but man, he really hasn't played much to now be a nine-figure dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, free agency ain't the place to shop. You know, it's just generally, now that the cap has gone up so much and these teams use these tags all the time and teams have gotten way smarter about extensions, you don't want to be shopping in free agency. It's not to say you can't, but that's why the trade market has increased so much. So when Lanfield asked me, is the Commanders' defense bad? I don't think it is. I think defenses have so much variance year to year, they believe in what they've done on the edges to be able to at least somewhat replicate last year where they were still top half of the league in sacks. If it's mm-hmm. strictly about sacking the opposing quarterback, I think you're going to be all right.
Yeah, you just got to get pressure on him sometimes too.
Now, if it's strictly about going to Caps game one, you better listen to the next segment.
You mentioned JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Root. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? Adjust it in mere seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best. They've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
Here's the best part. These Rude systems, they are whisper quiet. No more noisy interruptions. No more gong, 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 gong in the middle of the night. All that's gone because Rude's variable speed compressor ensures precise temperature and humidity control, operating efficiently even in extreme conditions. Its comfort and performance perfectly balanced. I'll tell you the truth. Before my Rude equipment got installed, my Shelby's room, because it's the far side of our house away from the mm-hmm. air conditioner, always was hot. Always was hot. We had to put a fan in there, all these things. Now, at the new Rude life, man, everything is the same temperature. It is so impressive. And you could save some cash. You could qualify for federal tax credits up to 2 G's on heat pumps through 2032. Check out Rude.com/federal incentives to learn more.
We're talking about Rude, R-U-U-D. They have the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in a DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rude,
it ain't right.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh,
wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to take everybody behind the curtain for a brief moment here. That is what is always a nutso place.
This place is nutso.
So I have no idea why, but there's a cake in the break room. And there's no plates or anything, so I got a slice of cake, and I'm eating it kind of like a slice of pizza based on these paper towels.
Is it weird?
Sure. And then Rooster walked in and said, what's the cake for? And I just started making up various lies to him. First, I told him it was Linnell's birthday. And he said, oh, well, happy birthday to Linnell, who walked by and said, it's not my birthday. And then he looked at me. I was like, of course, that's not the truth. And then one of the saleswomen was like, oh, it's for the new morning show. And Rooster's like, what new morning show? And I was like, the junks, they're out. You're up. And he's like, oh, he's like, I know you're kidding now. I was like, yeah, they've been on the air for 30 years, Rooster. And he's like, I'd be great for a morning show. Lanville, can you imagine how much he would complain? If he had a morning show, he wouldn't be here.
He will be late.
Even though there's zero traffic.
Now he's over there complaining about the studio. All the studio smelling, as he said,
funky.
Funky as I leave it like that.
I can't imagine what happened in there.
Sit in the room by yourself, you fill you out the cake, you just let it flow. <don't you? laughs>
That's funny. All right. I know what you're waiting for. Jeff, how are your fingers?
Just like his hands, small. He can't hold a full Whopper. He got to get a Whopper Junior.
Long but quick, the Jeff Walker story. Jeff, are your fingers good?
They're good.
Press the button. Caller number 9 right now. You win a pair of tickets to Game 1 for the second round of the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals. Tuesday, May 6th, that's tomorrow, knuckleheads, against Carolina at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. 800-636-1067. Caller number 9 right now. You win tickets, man. That joint is going to be jumping.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun, fun night.
It will be.
Here's what else is going to be fun. In about 10 minutes, now, me and Landini, we have learned that when we're waiting on a mayor's announcement, you can generally find this information on the mayor's social channels. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you find announcements coming from Pennsylvania Avenue these days.
Hey,
Truth Social?
I might have something to say about this one, too.
We might have to check Truth Social, Landfill. But the word is, in about 10 minutes, the president, the mayor, and the Commander's owner are all going to stand together and talk about the NFL draft coming to D.C. in 2027, which really, really is a cool thing. And I think it'll be so much fun, and I think the visuals will be incredible. I am guessing, B, that these are busy people with crazy schedules. I am guessing this thing will be late. Do you think this starts on time?
I don't know.
I don't know much about the executive branch and how they operate. I do know we got a winner for tomorrow night's tickets. Clark is in Gaithersburg. Clark, congrats, doing, dude.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Let's go, Cass. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
So you live in Gaithersburg. Have you been to any Caps games so far this playoff run?
Yeah, I went to game 5 last round.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right.
Who are you going to bring with you?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to try to get a hot date, but if not, then, you know, I'll definitely take someone. We'll both be rocking the red.
All right.
How old are you, Clark? How hot is this date?
I am 38.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll try to get the best looking one possible.
Well, dude, if you're 30, like, you're a grown up, right? If you get a date and you get to go to game 1 of the second round, that sounds like a poached egg situation. Like, y'all should have breakfast, I would think.
Hey, man, that's the name of the game. So we'll see.
What jersey are you going to wear?
Well, I wore my Cats 2018 Stanley Cup shirt to game 5, so I feel like I got to keep that good luck trend going.
Yeah, dude.
Keep it going, brother.
I think you do. Congrats, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy the game. Did you disagree with what I said, B?
Yeah.
In what capacity?
Well, I mean, if they're 38 and they're mature, they're not thinking like you think. You got to get something younger and dumb to get all that mindset going on.
You think if you take a date to a Caps game, I think that's a pretty good date.
Man, look, I'm letting you know the mindset's different.
Jeff?
Yeah, Brad. Most people that age, they looking to marry.
They're going to make you work a
little
bit.
Under a date?
Yeah, they're going to make you work for it.
If they see, oh, he got money to go to the Caps game.
He won him on the radio.
Huh?
He won him on the radio.
They don't know that. I was about to say, you ain't telling that part.
I think I would tell him that. Be like, yo, I'm broke. I won these on the radio.
Yep. And they're like, cool. If you get the game, and then guess what? You damn sure will get no poached egg that day.
No, I was saying, I'm flexing all night. Yeah, I got these tickets. They all way up here, but.
Yeah, are they uppers?
Yeah, oh.
I don't think you can flex with uppers. I think you go honest and you're like.
In the playoff game, when them tickets expensive, you can flex any seat in the building.
There you go, baby.
I brought my wife to a World Series game, and they were uppers, and she said, why are we sitting up here? I said, because it's the guy.
Your wife grew up with stuff. So she understands already. See, when you just said the poached egg situation, there ain't going to be no intelligent woman that grew up with something.
All right.
Especially just that first time y'all going on a date. Oh, hell no.
Okay. Apparently, the president is set to make a sports announcement at 1 o'clock. We all believe it's going to be the NFL draft here in D.C. Beamish has been calling this for 2 years. Let's all find out together. We're going to open these phone lines up. We got one more pair of Caps tickets to give away. And then Grant and Danny will be giving Caps tickets away all afternoon, too.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.